Shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a great passage from Romans. You know, it's kind of living out there in the world. Sometimes, you know, us Christians act kind of like we're ashamed of being Christians. And the passage that we're going to be reading in the Bible today should reflect on the difference that we have in our heart. The different set of standards that we live by. It starts out with God's love. And that's the backdrop for what Paul wrote. Now, I believe 100% that God led me to preach this message in the book of Ephesians to this church at this time. And as the search team was looking for a pastor, I think God spoke to me and said, you know, Bruce, you need to be preaching unity and love and let the people of the Orchard know how valuable they are and how much God loves them. You know, it's interesting. Third world, we're given the shoebox things, you know. And Gary Chapman's Language of Love, one of the first things in all primitive man around the world that says, I love you, is gifts. The other one is, how often do you tell God how much you love Him and how awesome He is? Because one of the languages of love is encouragement, words of encouragement, affirmation. Does God want to hear from you on planet Earth? You bet He does. And Sue, we now start getting a bunch of sweaters out there because this is sweater weather in here. This is the first time I think I've ever preached in my jacket. It's cold. God bless you, Rob. If you'll follow along with me, we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 5. And last week, we talked about some of the ways that we're not to live as believers, some of the strongholds of our emotions and our feelings that the devil works in. And, you know, revenge and getting even and all those kind of things that is prevalent because we're human beings. But because we're in Christ, we got to rise above that. Praise God. Praise God, I've seen within this body of Christ some Christians that are maturing, getting more unified, and living a life that is so wonderful to see. How we get along with one another here at the Orchard. How we've worked together. And don't stop it. Just when because Nathan comes and he's going to kind of take over the reins or whatever, he's not going to drive us as a team. He's going to lead us. We need to continue to work together. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we see what a wonderful, wonderful Lord and God you are as you revealed yourself through the Scriptures. And how, Father, that you led us through Jesus, through some of the hard times even. And even today, in our own pride sometimes, we need to be humbled a little bit to reflect on it's only through Jesus that we're acceptable. And Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit light to shine in our hearts this morning, that would cast out any darkness that are within us. And Father, that we would live a life and try to emulate what we have studied and learned about the person of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, this morning, I pray for those who are struggling, that Father God, that you would reveal yourself to them in light and truth, and you would flood their lives with joy and peace because Jesus sits on the throne. And we look forward to a time when in victory he comes back and he calls us to be with him forever and ever and raises the dead in glory. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And now, Lord, for this time, bring glory to yourself. Set me aside, Lord, and speak the words through me clearly. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. This kind of reminds me of at the jail, which I'm going to talk about a little bit. And this Thursday night, and then next Tuesday night, there's going to be a banquet, and it's money raised to buy Bibles and material and stuff for the people that are in the jails in Benzie County, Leelanau County, and Grand Traverse. It's going to be at 6:30 at the Commons Room, where they serve food at Traverse City West. If you can, I would love to have you come. You will hear from the sheriffs from three different jails or representative under sheriff. You will hear from probably one of the inmates that's been through the system, hopefully got their life back together. And you'll be able to hear some special music and some fine preaching from a former Baptist preacher who's now our director. In Grand Rapids, and it's just kind of a neat time because it kind of reminds me what heaven is like. We got a table over here of Methodists, and we got people from the Catholic Church, and all these different denominations. One of the very few things in Traverse City that brings churches together. For the last, I don't know, 30 years or so, they've been having meetings. It started out over in Northwestern College in the Olson Room. And we outgrew that in like 2 or 3 years. Because what it's done is it's allowed pastors from a like faith that believe that there's only one way and it's through Jesus to go to heaven. We might disagree on other things. But the one thing to go in and preach to people who have all of a sudden found themselves surrounded by the darkness. And today's message, and like I preach to the guys, if I'd been caught, I'd be in jail too, you know. That's part of my past. And all of us probably, we've done some things that if we'd have been caught, maybe drove home with just a little bit too much alcohol in your breath or whatever it might be, and you've ended up, you know, home safe and sound, and you get caught. Now you got a lot of young people there that have got addictions to alcohol, got prescription drug addictions, and chaos is going on in their lives when all of a sudden... My niece's boyfriend is a black guy, and he was raised in the ghetto area, and he's, I don't know, 60s or so. And he tells Betty, when you get to a certain point in your addictions, it's complete darkness. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll manipulate and control you. But the truth of the matter is, all you can do is just pray for them. Alvin says, all I can do is just pray for them until they come to the end of themselves and they get all that stuff out of their system. And that's kind of what jail is about. They get in there, you know, and they get sentenced in, you know, 3 months or whatever. And no smoking, no drugs. And all of a sudden now the real person you can talk to. Now the problem is, just like so many people come to church or seemingly come to Christ, if you don't continue in a group where there's accountability and you're studying the Bible, boy, the strength of the evil one comes to want to drag you back into the darkness and what's acceptable by all the world. Let's continue on.
What we got up there? Verse 10. Find out what pleases the Lord. Wow. Isn't that what our small group, that's what Bible study is all about. To find out what pleases the Lord. You know, as a little child, I can remember doing something. And, you know, you feel guilty because you know you did something wrong. And you look to mommy's face or to daddy's face. You can tell by the look of if you're doing the right thing or not. And the psalmist, he says that the Lord is a lifter of my chin. Think about that. If you've done something wrong, and you know it. See, if you have the light of God that's revealed Jesus to you and you're saved, then all of a sudden you got the Holy Spirit in your heart trying to get out all that, any dark areas of your thoughts and so forth. That if you've done something wrong and you want to please Jesus, you look to him and he says, he's the lifter of your chin. He wants to lift your chin up. He wants to look at you. Look, you're mine. And yes, I forgive you, but you have to ask for forgiveness, don't you? And when he does that, it's like the fragrance after the rain. Wow, you're forgiven, and it just kind of clears the air. And sometimes that happens after a spanking. And sometimes it seemingly God does that to us. Judy, move on. Next slide. Have nothing. Okay, but everything is exposed by the light. I remember after I taught school for a couple years, I went into construction. I was working with this guy, and he had a bunch of kids, and they were doing drywall. I was watching. Man, they had spread that mud out. Man, it was really, really nice. So I kind of learned from him. I helped him on rainy days when I wasn't out framing. So I got to where I could put it on pretty good, and he sent me one day up to Sleepy Bear Dunes, and we were making a theater up there in one of the really beautiful houses they condemned and took over. And we transformed that basement area into a theater. So we're working down there. You know, the electrician took the lights out. And we're spreading the mud and everything. Everything really looked good to me. But they didn't tell me what kind of lighting they're going to put in. And I guess I wasn't trained by the original guy how to sand the drywall. You just get it. Well, it looks pretty darn good. It's smooth, right? So we painted everything, and then they put these wall scraping lights on the side, and that wall, the light scraped down the wall. Guess what? Showed up every defect in the drywall. Now later on, I went to work for the guy who trained the guy I worked for first, and he's walking around with a little piece of sandpaper with a light shining. Oh, I got sand a little bit here and there. There's something about that light shining on brings out the flaws. Boy, I tell you, the devil doesn't want you to love Jesus. He doesn't want you to study Jesus, because what will Jesus do? He'll get to the root of the matter. You know, I never have heard anybody tell me they're unbelievers that have kind of known anything. What has Jesus done that was wrong? You think about that. Can you think of anything that Jesus taught or did that was wrong? He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. So, how do we find out what pleases him? It's what, study him. Let him study you. Because if you have come to a relationship with God, then Jesus lives in your heart through the Holy Spirit. And he said that Holy Spirit would lead you into all righteousness. He would be your teacher and your guide. So how do we know what pleases Jesus? By studying him. But the first priority is we have to accept him as our Savior. We have to surrender to him as our Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes in. All of a sudden we've got the light within us. Passage that I just love is in John chapter 3, verse 19. You know, it's interesting. It's after the one scripture just about everybody's memorized, for God so loved the world, the greatest scripture in the Bible, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm a whosoever, and I've claimed him. But then he goes on in verse 19. And I tell you, as a young Christian, as a middle-aged Christian, as an older Christian, I find the same response when I want to witness about Jesus. It says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." Whoa. Think about that. You got people that you talk to, you know, and say, "Hey, come to church." They might even come to church. And they'll listen about Jesus, but they'll sit on the fence. Jesus said, "You're either for me or you're against me." There's no being neutral with Jesus. And then the idea, why won't they really come into that relationship with Jesus? He said it right here. It's a response. You don't want to because you're not through sinning. And it's kind of like in the jail ministry, we see so many, I mean, it is so neat to see some broken person, especially when in a small group, sitting right in front of me after I present the gospel, and I see him weeping. I reach down and I hold him by the hands and I lead them to the Lord. What an honor it is. But the problem is the follow-up. And I think at that moment that their heart is really broken. But you know what? They got so much of the darkness in their life that it takes so much love. It takes so much attention and accountability. Jane knows a little bit about this because she's ministered to some girls that have lived in the world and have taken on all the moral and ethic teachings that the world says it's okay, okay. But Jesus loves you. He has come to wash you from your sin. He doesn't want to leave you in that darkness. He wants to put light inside you so that you can have real life and real joy and real peace. Next slide, Jude. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Boy, I tell you, the signs of the times. And I think at this time, this particular time, as the church moves into this fall and new leadership is coming and more unity is built, it's a sign of the time that we're here for a reason. We're here for this season. Because people want to know what the real Jesus is, and you know him. And you know how he wants us to live. Because we searched the scriptures. He searched our hearts. He's given us a leadership. Oh, my friends, it is this time, for this very moment maybe, that God has called us together. Yesterday I went to the associational meeting and listened to some of the pastors, what was going on. And the one thing that I noticed is Jim and Nona, who attended here for a while, they're up at Pelston. As I was talking to him, I said, "Well, how's church doing?" He says, "You know," he said, "one of the things I've come to the conclusion is people will come to your home for dinner. They'll come even for a small, you know, get-together and a Bible study, but they don't want to come to church." Is it afraid the roof's going to fall in when they come in? Or is it the fact that, oh, God's not really here in a home or a meeting, and you know, they kind of accept me rough. I mean, I was there at one time, too. I remember the first time I went to Ron and Kay Ferguson's, and we were talking. It all blew something blurted out. I was working as a carpenter, and, you know, you hear all the time what's the language and everything. And I'm going, oh. You know, what you're hanging around with, you kind of take in. As a Christian, you know, you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind to live a new life. But you know, they never batted an eye. They never said, "Hey, you can't talk like that in my house."
And back at the time, I stepped outside to have a cigarette. Now, if they'd have told me, you can't come to my house, and if you even think that way or talk that way or even smoke on my property, God won't love you. Got to tell you, Jesus hauled those Pall Malls and Winstons on his back and was crucified there, whatever it might be. Because he's not worried about the outside stuff. He's worried about what's in here. Praise God Almighty. Don't be foolish. These days are evil. People, you know, I remember studying about peer pressure a few years ago when I was younger and started ministering to young people. Is that, you know, you jump in the car, and this has happened, carload of kids and hit a tree, some are dead. And you know, and some of the kids in there, parents are Christians, been in church, and like they're passing the joint around or they're drinking or whatever it might be. You know what? Really, there's a lot of them in there who don't really want to do that. They're just looking for somebody to step up and say, no, I don't want to do that. Isn't that why God called us and saved us? So that we could make a difference and not go along with the foolishness of the world. And there's a lot of people looking to that type of leadership. But yet, they get their training from watching TV and what goes on. Elaine and I were talking this morning about how there's some really neat songs, really neat books out there that kind of address the vacuum that's in hearts. But they want to put profanity and stuff in them that dilutes it. But you know what? You listen to all those songs in the great 60s and 70s, all through there. A lot of those songs, man, they speak to the needs I had when I was unsaved. But they didn't tell me who he was. It might have been a relationship with a girl or a relationship with some buff guy for you girls. But the truth of the matter is, what would really satisfy that longing is Jesus. It always has been Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. It's more than the name. It's the love that comes through it. Because, you know, everything about Jesus has got you, us in it. It's got us in his name. His name literally means God's salvation. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful Lord he is. Next slide, Jude. I have a relationship with a lady around the slides back there, by the way, if you don't know it. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let's stop right there. Okay, Bible does not condemn drinking wine. Warning, 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 though, because it can lead to drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. And in fact, it's not so much he's preaching about wine and alcohol and that stuff here. It's what it could lead to. It says debauchery. If you got another Bible translation, what's it called? I can't. It says, this is Webster's Dictionary, extreme indulgence of one's appetites, especially for sensual pleasures, orgies, leading astray morally. Wow. So what happens is alcohol kind of lets down our controls. And I know some of you have had experienced a little bit out of control. I know I have. Just this last week, in the darkness, that's when people show up at the bars. That's when people have affairs, usually. In the bar, and some of them are saying, well, it's because guys can't smoke in the bar anymore, they go outside and then they get in fights. But there was a guy in Munson Hospital that his face was beaten in so much, he no longer had any bones here. Two guys came out that were kicked out of the bar. They'd had too much wine, which led to debauchery. They said something, and they beat this guy practically to death. His brain is all swollen between his eyes. I don't know if he's ever going to be right or not, but what happened? Some smart aleck remarked that the guy shouldn't have made that got beat up. But you know, wherever there's woe, where there have strife, it's people that linger around alcohol. I'm a product of a home that was affected by the dysfunctional life of alcoholism. I'm speaking from experience. And then he goes on to say, instead of being controlled and driven by too much wine, alcohol, instead be filled with the Spirit. And it's interesting, the verbs here is more than instead of being filled, it's a command to be filled. It's a command to be continually filled. This church lady who sat in the back of the church, they're having revival services, and this one guy who was getting really just got saved and was really fired up, you know, and they're having a time of worship, and he's got his hands up, and he said, "Fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord." And she sits back there and she says, "Don't do it, he leaks." Well, we do. We leak. Why do we leak? Because of the little bit of darkness and sin that nobody knows about what I'm thinking about or my feelings. But God does. And it's influenced me just like alcohol would influence me. So the message, Paul is saying, be continually filled. Let the light of Jesus cleanse that heart. Because it's dirty, it's not filled. It might have the Spirit in it, but it's not filled. It's not flowing over. And don't give me this, you're waving your hands in the air. That means you're filled, because that can be a show just for people to see. It's the change of your character, of thinking about others and just yourself. Thinking about the effects of what the church will happen to them because you represent the church. And then speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Isn't it amazing how Paul realized that there's something about worshiping in songs and singing hymns that not only lifts us spiritually and gives an avenue for the Holy Spirit to fill us, but it helps us be in unity too, even though I can't sing on key, off key, whatever it is. And you know, most of this, it's easy here, but boy, you know, when you're down and out, if you're a Christian and you know Jesus and you go, "Now wait a minute, God, why aren't you answering that prayer? Why do I feel like I'm alone and no friends around me?" Boy, that's a time that you need to go, "Wait a minute. I haven't been reading the Bible lately. I haven't been praying lately." Pastor yesterday gave his testimony how he was feeling one of those deals of woe is me, you know, preacher stuff. Been there, done that. He's saying, "But I think about, well, God, you've saved me. You've given me your word. I've got the truth. Jesus is the truth. Truth is a person. And he's also given me the light of the Holy Spirit." Real slowly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Oh, just to say his name. And all of a sudden realize where we were in darkness. And where he's got us to, and now something a little bit tough is coming along. That's of the devil, because he wants to distract us from who we are and the mission that he has given us. We conclude our meeting singing a chorus, and I can't sing it for you. Very simple chorus that the Gaithers wrote. I'll read it to you. Loving God, loving each other. Making music with my friends, loving God, loving each other, and the story never ends. That's a real beautiful chorus, a lot better than I could just read it. There's something about the melody of music that God can use, and the devil uses too, in the dark realms. Loving God, why are we here? loving God, loving each other, receiving a vertical feeling of God's love, then horizontally loving each other. That's what church is really all about. And then he goes on and the writer says, and the story never ends. That's one part of the Church of Jesus Christ that is going to go on forever and ever and ever. I don't know what the tune's going to be, but I know at the center of it is going to be the Lamb, the one that took away the sin of the world, the one that is going to replace that big fiery ball that's up in the sky, the S-U-N, on heaven. He will be our light. He will be the S-O-N amongst all the people of all the ages. Judy, next slide. Verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Father, of Lord Jesus Christ. The attitude of gratitude. And, you know, the more I look at the darkness that troubles my own heart, and the more I look to Christ and examine His teachings and His workings, His miracles, His relationship to the people and when He walked this earth for 3.5 years, the more I am also thankful that somehow, without my understanding, the Father enabled me to come to the feet of Jesus and say, here I am. You know my thoughts. You know my sins. You know what I've done. And He lifted my chin, and He adopted me, and He has become my everlasting Father. He has become my Lord and my King. And I can't go one day without being thankful for what He's done in my life, in my marriage, in my church. Because it all has a matter of how much you will put into a relationship with Jesus. It's like if you're an athlete, a musician. How good are you going to be, or what can you accomplish? How much of yourself will you put into it? And that's the same thing with Christianity. And that is the stumbling block for so many guys and girls at the jail. That they don't really count the cost. And they think they're all cleaned up. They step out of there. They don't feel like they're really acceptable in a church or whatever. And the next thing you know, they're right back in the darkness that they came from. And all of a sudden, they're back into the addictions of alcohol, drugs, spousal abuse, all that kind of stuff. It's a dark world out there. It really is. But praise God, we've seen the light. We have the light. Jesus is our answer. Turn that light bulb on. And that's why God has called the Orchard here in Traverse City, to turn the light on, that people will start to examine this Jesus. He's our answer. He's our all in all. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I kind of like this. You know, we look at this. Oh, I've got it written down here. Somewhere. Oh, here it is. Okay. The Greek word, two words when it comes to submit. Under and order. And it literally means to submit, to arrange under, or to obey. The military would use this word to refer to the arranging and ordering of troops. It was also used to describe the voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility. Okay, now we are the body of Christ. And we individually, I hope you're there, submitting to Jesus Christ, that all our will would be His will. In Romans chapter 1, He says, I'm a bondservant or a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, in the body of Christ, he has given gifts to the church, right? And you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it tells some of those gifts. And there's other gifts that people get, too, that's not just in there. But one of the things, when we recognize in the body of Christ that if God has called someone to be minister of education, and the church has accepted that position because they saw that they're capable of dealing with the scriptures and teaching and all that kind of stuff, then what would I do? I would want to submit to their leadership as if I'm submitting to Jesus. Because I realize that not only do they have a gift for it, they're a gift to me. Barb is the leader of the praise band. She's got years of training in music. Now, wouldn't it be stupid for me to want to say, I'm going to take over from you because I want to be up in front. First of all, I can't play and I can't sing. So that's a no-brainer. You see where I'm coming from? When we recognize someone has a gift and God is using them, we want to submit to them. In the animal kingdom, the wolf pack lay on their back and make themselves vulnerable. Boy, that's tough when you've been hurt in churches, let me tell you. The churches have hurt more people and caused more barriers. And if you get out there witnessing to people, you're going to find those are things you hear. But you got to come around to, but what about Jesus? That preacher or that deacon or whatever pointed his finger at you and he's got the other three point back at him and stuff. But what about Jesus? And I find that he wants the best. Yeah, he calls for change of heart. He shines light in darkness. But he wants us to be all that he has created us to be. Okay, conclusion story. A little boy was sitting at church one day, and one of these big Victorian Gothic churches, you know, have the stained glass windows. And he's looking, and he says, hey, Daddy, what is this guy in the windows there? He said, well, that's St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. I said, oh. So they were having a Bible study, and the Sunday school teacher says, can anyone in the class tell me what a saint is? He raised his hand. It's somebody that light shines through. And that's who you are. You're either a pain or somebody that the light shines through. Now, I mean, it's kind of funny in a way, but that's really the truth. You know how much damage it is that people want to witness for Christ, yet they don't live their life out as one called out and being holy in their life? That's what a saint is. I have seen it so many times in large factories and stuff that hypocrites went around claiming that they're a Christian and they should have their own struggles. And you know what? People don't realize that Christians have struggles. They think, well, we're perfect all the time. I got to tell you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I am a sinner. I will be a sinner. But you know what? Little by little, through the Holy Spirit, light shining in the darkness of my heart, he is helping me and you to become more and more like Jesus. And when that happens, then you're a pain that the light shines through, not just a pain. That's one of the things I've always been confronted. I used to do the same thing. What about John Smith? He's a hypocrite. I remember comparing myself with other people in the church before I knew Christ. And the bottom line is, he is the light of the world. Let him shine in your heart. Has he? I know he's shone, how do I say, shined? He shone in my heart on a day that I was troubled. My life seemingly was fall apart, and I was looking for some way, how can I have happiness and joy in my life? And all of a sudden, the name of Jesus came up. And I wrestled and wrestled with it, and finally, he spoke to me, and I surrendered to him, and oh, what a day that was. Have you experienced that? There's one time that God wants you to feel like, you know, I'm the only person in, you know, the world revolves around me. But you know that one moment when I said, Jesus, my Savior, I believe that happened. That the whole world in heaven and all my relatives and friends that were praying for me, that my name was on the lips of the angels in heaven. And that's what God has for us. And then there's that leadership into sonship and daughtership to where he perfects you into the person that God created you for. Out of darkness into that marvelous light. As we have a song of invitation, if you've got a decision to make, have you received the light of Jesus in your life? Are you struggling with what's going on? I'll be up here. I'd love to pray with you. Or you can surrender where you're at. But let me tell you one thing. If it's for salvation, Jesus said that if you're ashamed of me, if you won't confess me in front of men, I'll not confess you. If you're saved, other Christians have to know about it. There's something about that putting yourself under area of accountability that breaks down barriers and humility, so that God can truly shine through your pain.
As we sing this last worship song, we're reminded of what